following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Matthew 11:28. Share with you a teaching entitled Meekness, the Fruit of Power. Meekness is the fruit of power. And everybody wants power in their life. Amen? But you know, power is intended to bear fruit of the Spirit. And I submit to you, in the final analysis, power is not what it's all about. Fruit is. Character, fruit, will last eternally. Power is nothing more than the demonstration of the working of the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit. And I would believe the chief fruit of power is meekness. Matthew 11:28, we see the one time in the Bible that Jesus actually describes his own character. Now, we ought to really look at this. Of the many fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, of all of them, Christ decided to pick one of the fruits and describe his own character by that trait. Listen to it. Come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What an amazing promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, that doesn't sound like the description of Almighty God, does it? The sovereign ruler of the universe, unto whom every knee ever created shall bow in adoration, unto which every demon power flees in terror. Does that sound like the character trait of a meek and lowly?
What?
He says, and you'll find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to share with you that the character of meekness is a very meek is a very misunderstood word. And I want to help you tonight that from this night on you will never think of meekness the way you have. It is unfortunately true that meekness sounds a lot like the word weakness, doesn't it? And a lot of us link it because they sound like we somehow think meekness means weakness. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I'm going to give you a definition I got from my Vines Greek transliteration book. It's a wonderful book that gives the Greek words and a studious analysis and description unlike any dictionary I've ever seen. The word meek in the Greek is a word, and I don't know how to pronounce it, protus. The transliteration is P-R-A-U-T-E-S. Now, I want you to hear this definition. You may want to write it down. An inwrought grace of the soul. Meekness is an inwrought grace of the soul. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good without disputing or resisting. It is the temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us, a temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us, as good without disputing or resisting. In which we accept God's dealings with us as good without disputing or resisting. If you need it, I can offer you this definition later if I'm going too fast. Now, it's the opposite. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It's the opposite of that. Of self-assertiveness and self-interest. You know, self-assertiveness is always putting yourself forward. Self-interest is always being centered around yourself. Now, here's the one, and this was in the Vines. It says, meekness is the fruit of power. I saw that, boy, that caught my eye. I said, that's the title of a teaching. Meekness is the fruit of power, and this is my favorite part of it. And I've been thinking about this ever since. It is that equanimity of spirit. Now, what equanimity means is that sense of balance. Let's put it the way. It is the balance of spirit that's neither elated or cast down. Simply because it's not occupied with the self at all. It is the balance of spirit, of the human spirit, that's neither elated or cast down. In other words, one who is meek is not one who is moody. A meek person is not up one day and down the next. In fact, they're never up and they're never down. They're always there, concerned about the needs of others. Am I making sense? There's not really an up or a down in the context of the character of meekness. It is the balance of spirit that's neither elated or cast down simply because it's not occupied with self at all. It is the, I like to think of it as truly the ultimate denial of self. Which literally self has nothing to do with what it's about. That's what meekness means. You see, it means has nothing to do with weakness. As you look at these definitions, it seems to describe Christ. Christ had a temper of spirit that was balanced. He had a grace within him to not resist but always cooperate what God was leading. In fact, I'm going to show you a few verses. Look at Ephesians 4. I'm going to show you a couple of verses to help you understand the nature of this character trait. Now, I think the treasure of this teaching tonight is if you can get revelation of meekness and begin to ask God to break you a meek person, then that is the greatest treasure, the greatest power, the greatest blessing you can have in your life. To develop a meek spirit. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And now this is the King James. Some of you, it may be translated gentleness, but King James says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit. Some of you versions may translate gentleness. Now let me tell you, gentleness, the word gentleness, if your translation is translate that, is not a fair rendering of that Greek word. Because protus, gentleness seems to imply behavior. You understand? Gentleness implies behavior in the word. Meekness doesn't imply behavior. Meekness implies inborn character. We don't have an English word other than meekness to describe the nature of protus. So it's essential we understand what proutus means, what meekness means, because gentleness is a behavior. Gentleness is the fruit of meekness, really. But a lot of the translations simply put gentleness. It's not a fair rendering. With lowliness and meekness, look at Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, Colossians 3:12, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You know, it's interesting. Now, the old King James says bowels, and I don't know how your new versions read. That's kind of offensive in our current use of language, bowels. But what it speaks is gut level. That's what it means. Gut level, heart. But even deeper than heartfelt. Bowel speaks us from your gut, man. Put on, holy and beloved, the gut level mercy. Gut level kindness. And look, gut level humbleness of mind and meekness, proutus, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against others, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. Now, let me tell you how the character trait of meekness is developed. It's developed like any fruit. It's not you can say, okay, Lord, just give me meekness. There, I've got it. Fruit is not developed like that. Amen? Amen? Now, gifts can come like that. See, there's a difference between gifts and fruit. You understand that? There are, interestingly enough, 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. You know the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing, gifts of... But did you know there are 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Now, what the gifts of the Spirit really are is hoes and shovels. And rakes, those are tools to work the garden to bear the fruits. Am I right? So many folks focus on the gifts, but the gifts are simply there to help us bear the fruits. Because Jesus said, you know them by their what? Gifts? By their fruit. And our reward for eternity will not be, oh Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name? Amen? Did we not do miracles in your name? I never knew you. The gifts he's not going to be impressed with. Did you know, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, the tongues will cease. The gifts will cease, but love will, so the fruit sort of, now look at this. Meekness is a trait of character. You want to know how it's developed? You ready? Patient endurance. Oh, joy. Particularly in relations with others. Can I hear an amen? That was a weak amen. Meekness is developed with patient endurance, particularly in the relationships with other people. Okay, here's one of the best synonyms of meekness, and it is this word. You ready? Teachable. Meekness is teachableness. The ability to hear from anyone what God could be speaking to you. That's what meekness is. Teachableness. In fact, look at Philippians 2 verse 2. This describes it. It doesn't use the word meekness, but it describes the character of meekness like no other verse. I'm sorry, 2 verse 3. Philippians 2 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, look at this, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, is that an incredible statement? Meekness is the state where this statement is not incredible, but you really believe that others are better than you. That's meekness. Many of us go, well, yeah, I believe others are better than me. That's what it says right here. It says, in all of this of mine, let each team other, I believe they're all better, because it says it here. Come on, give me a break. How does that work out in your experience, that others are better than you? You know, the only way it would work out is teachableness. If you were really willing and understand to be able to hear others, anybody, amen? And this is where correction comes in, because meekness is the character trait in which we want correction. We want to hear God through people. And we really believe that others are better. Now, how do you get to that place? You go, how in the world do you get to where I really believe others are better than me? Well, just get to really know you. When you get to really know you, that's not a problem. Amen? I find the more I get to know Chris, the more I believe this is true. Amen? Oh, I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. Remember that song? When I was a young believer, I was old in the faith. I knew all. Seems like the longer I grow in the Lord, the younger I get. I'm getting to the point, man, I don't know diddly, and everybody else is 10 miles ahead of me. You know why? Because I'm beginning to see more and more of my own potential. Not my potential, my absolute ability to. Not my absolute ability to, my absolute desire to. Do anything but for the grace of God. Scary. Have you ever met the real you, Kelly? Have you met the real Kelly? How about you, Ralph? The real Ralph. Ralph, I'd like to introduce you to Ralph. Oh, my God. How about you, Alan? The real Alan. No. We keep him in wraps. We dress him up. We kid ourselves that somehow we're better than we are. And so God sends people in our lives to help us see what we really are. Meekness is the character of Jesus. I like to believe that Jesus Christ had a character about his personality that if you had a pure heart, you felt free to walk right up to him. Walk right up to him. You know why I know that? Because kids love him. You know, kids are little radar units. You ever do that? Pick your kid up, kind of aim him at people. You know? You ever do that with Mikey, Charity? Just pick him up, aim him? Because you don't even have to turn him on. He's on all the time, isn't he? Little on radar units. Kids pick up things like dogs do. Okay, you know how a dog, you walk up to a dog, or a cat, and they just pick this thing up in the spirit. Kids are like that. Kids are natural born discerners in the sense of they can tell whether an adult is a good adult or a bad adult, a mean adult or a nice adult. They just know, man, they feel it. Kids ran to Jesus. Amen? They ran to the master. The disciples were the ones trying to push him away. Jesus said, no, 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 come on. And they had all these little kids around him. I had a dream once and a vision. It was probably 1973, probably about 20 years ago now. I've just been a Christian a few years. I'll never forget this. In my dream, I was in my grandmother's attic digging through old pictures. This is wild. And I found a picture in the dream, a photograph of Jesus Christ, a photograph, with the little kids around. And I'll never forget in the dream, I went, well, this stuff is worth bucks. I was a young Christian, yeah. The Jewish. I can make some photograph of Jesus. Now in the dream, it didn't dawn on me they didn't have cameras then, you know. But I'm looking at, now I'm telling you, God gave me this dream, I know, because in the dream, I can, in my mind's eye right now, in my mind, in my memory bank, I can see that photograph. And do you know, this gives me shivers when I say this, I believe that's a real photograph, that I actually saw Jesus with the children. I'm not kidding you. It was a gift of God to me when I was a young believer. I believe I saw an actual photograph of Jesus Christ with the children. It's back here in the memory bank. See what I'm saying? That in my dream, God had showed me an actual scene. And I describe this. It's kind of like time travel. And that what I saw in this photograph, and I'll describe it to you, was I see this tree, and it's kind of a hilly area, and it's kind of vegetation, and there's the master standing there. And I see all these little kids kind of sitting around him, come or standing next to him. Now, I've seen paintings similar to this, but nothing like my photograph in my mind. And there were men kind of standing off a little bit. And I just remembered in the photograph marveling at the peace and the serenity of Jesus as he looked at the kids. That was a real gift that God gave me as a young believer, that picture in my dream. I kind of spoiled it with my thought, oh, wow, man, sell this. Probably why God hadn't. But anyway, Jesus has had and has a heart that kids love because there was a teachableness of Jesus. Now it's interesting, if you didn't have a pure heart, you were intimidated by Jesus. You understand? Remember Nathaniel had a pure heart. But boy, some of those disciples, when they had other agendas in their heart, they were scared. Remember, I said they dared not ask him any more questions. You know, yeah, there was something about Jesus that if you had innocence, you could run right to him. If you were a meek spirit, you connected with him. You understand? But if there was any pride at all in your spirit, you were scared of him, intimidated. Isn't that something? Meekness is the fruit of power, real power. Power is meekness, not weakness at all. Look at James 3, verse 13. In fact, meekness is the key to wisdom and knowledge. This is incredible when I found this verse. Meekness is the key to wisdom and knowledge. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now look at this. Let him show out of a good conversation or manner of life his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. That's Proutus. Who is a wise man filled with knowledge? Let him show out of his lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. So I submit to you, meekness is the clearest sign of a maturing soul. Meekness is the key to wisdom and knowledge. You know why? Because it's teachableness. Meekness is the ability to hear truth from any source. To love truth, regardless of where it comes from. Some of us, God can speak directly to at times. And at other times, he can't reach us, so he tries to get us to a person. If that doesn't work, he may use some other means to get that word to us. A calamity, a trauma, or something of this nature. Meekness in James 3, look at verse 17. The wisdom that is from above us first, pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, the fruit of righteousness, and sown in peace of them that make peace. Folks, listen. Meekness is the clearest sign, I want you to hear this, of a maturing soul. And this is an important point. Meekness is the clearest sign of a maturing soul. The way I know someone is beginning to mature in Christ is not necessarily how much money they put in the offering plate. Not necessarily how many ministries they volunteer for. You know, not how many people they witness to. Not all their good works. You know what it is? It's a character of meekness. The character of teachableness. The character of lowliness of mind. 1 Peter 3. Now that was kind of for the men. Here's the one for the women. I love this one. He's talking about women whose adorning, don't let it be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. What he's saying here, don't let your heart be in the outer things. But women, let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Look, meekness is the key to radiant inner beauty in a woman. You know, there are so many proverbs that talk about it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a big house with an angry woman. You ever heard that? As the dripping of water, so is the contentiousness of a boisterous wife. So, he says here that in the sight of God, of great price is a meek and quiet spirit. Now, most women will read this. You know, it goes on to talk about Sarah calling her husband Lord. And, you know, in our culture, we go, call him Lord, submit. You know, this arrogant, this feminazi, this thing comes up and this spirit of rebellion of the age comes up in us, you know. But you know what? Meekness is teachableness. Meekness is lowliness. Meekness has no problem submitting to anybody. A husband, meekness has no problem submitting to the lowest, most despised person in the whole church. You know, it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul talked about there was this argument, but two people were taking each other to law, suing each other. Paul said, set him that's lowest esteemed in the church to decide. That's a crazy verse. Find the guy that's the least esteemed and let him judge the issue. And you go, well, that's dumb. I mean, we got some guy who just came in last week, got saved, you know, he's still just right off of drugs. I mean, what? And God says, bingo, that's the one I want. Well, he's scum, man. He's saved, granted, he's a brother. But, man, he knows nothing. He thinks Matthew is in the Old Testament. And Paul says, that's the guy. And you put that guy up there, and he's just, you know how they are brand new. You got the kind of people you have to lock them up in the prison for 2 years, you know. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Praise God. And they say, brother, we would like you to mediate this kind of complex problem between these two brothers. Amen. Let's do it. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. He's the one you want. Amen. He's just so caught up with Jesus. Hey, whatever, man. You know, hey, just divide the baby in two, you know, like Solomon. Word of God, you know. Wasn't that what Solomon did? Solomon said, it's interesting. He said, I'm but a little child, didn't he? Solomon said that. I don't know how to go in and come out. His little childness, Solomon's little meekness. Did you know that? God appeared in a dream, said, anything you want, Solomon, name it. And that's a dream we would like to have. Anything. God. Seth. God Almighty appears to you tonight. God. The sovereign God. Throne. Trillions of angels. Seth. Anything you want in the universe is yours tomorrow. And Solomon went, oh, man. Deal! You know, suddenly he saw riches, gold, silver, you know, life of his enemies, and suddenly, but you know what? Suddenly his meek heart manifested. And Solomon said to the Lord, in a dream, because what you say in the dream is really your heart, you understand? He said, Lord, this is a nation of great people, of innumerable people, and who is wise and discerning to judge this thy so great a people. Give to your servant an understanding, a hearing heart, that I may have the wisdom to judge your people. And I mean, God went, whoa. And so God spoke to him and says, Solomon, I will give you a hearing heart and I'll give you wisdom. In fact, since you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, I'll add everything else. I'm going to give you riches and wisdom. I'm going to give you riches and money and power and glory such as no man on the planet ever or ever will have until the seated of Christ in the millennium. That's true. And no man on the planet has had the glory of Solomon until Christ. He's a type of Christ in the millennium. And it says literally in Kings, talks about every year these boats would come to Israel. And they would have peacocks and apes and tubs of jewels. I mean, it's incredible. And all the kings of the planet came to talk to Solomon to see his wisdom. Even old Queen Sheba. Must have been Bathsheba's great-grandmother. I don't know. But Queen of Sheba came, and she came and saw the ascending of him to his throne and the waiting courtiers and the different ones. And it says, the half has not been told me of the riches and the glory. And it's amazing. Queen of Sheba came to ask him hard questions, and it says Solomon told her all her questions before she even asked. This, you know what that was words of knowledge. I mean, Solomon, he had so much wisdom. He read people's mail. People came up to ask the king something. He already said, I know what you're going to ask me. Ask me this, this, and this, and here's the answer. I mean, what do you think? Why do you think people from the planet came to see me like Paul Cain? You know, imagine Paul Cain. Paul Cain is one of the most anointed prophets on the planet today. And people from all over the world, I mean, when Paul Cain comes to town, if you know about the gift on this man, it's like William Brennan back in the 50s. William Brennan had one of the most amazing, and he had, in fact, Paul Cain has inherited Brennan's mantle. And William Brennan, everywhere he went around the world, people would just literally do anything to get to a Brennan meeting for the phenomenal giftedness of the spiritual realm that he had. He could totally read your mouth. In fact, William Brennan, I have tapes of him, actual tapes, of his healing line. You've never heard of a healing line like William Brennan's healing line. And I have tapes of listening to this. They would all line up and they would come up and he would tell them what the disease was. Everyone. Never missing a beat. Each person would come up and he'd say, and you can, I have transcription of this in actual text. He says, well, okay, you came from Columbus, Ohio, and you came because you have a bad thyroid and you blah, blah, blah. And they'd just wander off with eyes as big. And you see, they never really saw any particular healings. He just told them, every one of them, exactly what their needs were, and then they would pray that they would be healed. But, I mean, they were so astounded that this man knew everything that they asked. You understand? And, of course, the healings were prolific in the Brennan meetings. You ought to listen to one of these tapes. I got some. One of these days, maybe I can share these with you. Phenomenal gifting. That was how Solomon was, that level of wisdom and knowledge and gifting. And how did I get over there? Oh yeah, Solomon was a meek. He said, I'm but a little child. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Read it. He said, I am a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. Isn't that a crazy, wow? The wisest man on the planet said, I'm a little child. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Solomon had a spirit of meekness and wisdom. Now, this verse here says, in the sight of God of great price, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who has a bucket of pearls, and he's going through the pearls. And what's he looking for? One pearl of what? Great price. That's what he's talking about. It's like he's going through your soul looking for that greatest character trait, which is meekness. One or two more places. Galatians 6:1. I think we looked at this last night. Not only is meekness invaluable, folks, listen, for wisdom and knowledge, it is the trait of inner beauty in a woman. It is the character of of Christ. But look at Galatians 6:1. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Pretos. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen, meekness is absolutely essential when you're offering correction or reproof to others. You understand? That's what is the spirit of meekness. And I said, oh, there's a spirit to get. I want a spirit of meekness. It's a spirit of meekness. Meaning, when you go to correct someone or reprove someone, you don't go with a high and haughty attitude that I know better than you. You go with a teachable spirit. Amen? You know, like I've said before, the most threatening people in my life are meek people. They scare me. those haughty, arrogant ones who have it all figured out and come to straighten me out, I'm really not worried about them because I know it's the flesh. It's those meek and humble. I'll give you a for instance. If Jenny Berkley would have a revelation to correct me about, I'm scared to death. That's going to be God. You have a meek spirit, Jenny. And she's, you know, she'll come up and the few times she said something, she just apologized and said, well, you know, I know you're this and I just don't know. You scare me when you start like that. Oh, God, God's going to speak to me. That woman's just so meek and so has such a low opinion of her worth other than in the Lord that I'm telling you, that's a character of great price. Amen? I bless that character in Jenny Berkley. I don't mean to embarrass you here, but you're a gift to us, Jenny. You're a gift in the Spirit. Amen? Affirmer in the Lord, because those are the people to be scared of, see? Those meek and quiet ones, boy, when they come to you with a word, it's God. It's hard to argue, you know, when they come with a broken spirit. Amen? Listen, meekness is the key, I want you to hear this, to non-confrontive confrontations. How many of you would like to have a confrontation that's non-confrontive? We all hate confrontations. This is talking about a confrontation. How can it be non-confrontive? Go in a spirit of meekness. Amen. If that person that you're correcting believes that you think and know that you're better than them, you understand? If they convey to you to the fact that, well, I really believe you're better than me, I really do, I know that's true, because I'm so in touch with my need for Jesus, but I have something to offer you to help you, I mean, there will be no confrontation. They'll hear. In fact, here it is, meekness is the opposite of anger. How many of you struggle with anger? Meekness is the opposite, polar opposite of anger. Because anger is basically asserting your right, and meekness is knowing you have no rights. Or like, what was that thing Norman said last night about the only right you have is going to hell or something like that. Anything less than death is mercy. Oh, I love that. Whoa. There's more truth than that. No, whoa. One more place, Psalm 37. We'll close with this. And here it is. They're one of the finest promises of the Old Testament. Psalm 37:11. I'm sure this verse has gone through your mind. But the meek shall inherit what? The earth. Now look. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Few things produce and maintain powerful peace in your life like meekness. In fact, I got to thinking, a lot of our disturbance and aggravation and lack of peace is because of our other than meek attitude. We get into confronting situations without a meek spirit. We are opening ourselves. Remember, God resists the proud and gives grace to what? The humble, the lowly. So what I want us to do is to pray that the Lord would develop this character in our souls, even if it means being often reproved by others. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs 29 that says, he that being often reproved, hardening himself, is setting himself up for destruction. Lord, I thank you. Did this word minister to you? Amen? It's a treasure. Amen? How many want this treasure in your life? The treasure of meekness. You see the quality of this. It is the unique phrase that Christ used to describe himself. And it comes by taking his yoke upon you. Jesus, we ask now that you would come. And you would just write this word deep in our spirits. It's in our mind. And just sink it down in our gut. Come, write it in our spirit. We want to be lowly and meek and humble, esteeming others better than ourselves, not demanding. Oh, what a character. What a fruit. What a beautiful, beautiful, of great price a meek and quiet spirit is. Jesus, break the lies of the culture that seem to imply anything else. Oh, if we could only have known Jesus in the flesh. We know him by the Spirit. But Lord, what a marvelous man Jesus was. We've never met a man like that. A man of an inestimable power
and yet lowly, lowly.
Lord, we can't even fathom those two coming together. Glory and power, majesty and authority, strength, wisdom, and yet humility and lowliness and meekness, childlikeness, that even the sinners and the street people and the little children just enamored by. Lord, we want to know you, Jesus. What a beautiful balance your character is. That's what we want, is character. Now we're going to have communion, and as we break the...
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.